You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
Welcome back. Roto Experts in the Morning, weekend morning show. I'm George Kurtz. We just talked to Mike Cardano. Mike going over his team. I should have asked if I can have that Häagen-Dazs ice cream tomorrow morning to eat right in front of Mike. We're discussing a little bit of everything here. Talk about the Pro Bowl. I actually might play a little DFS Pro Bowl tomorrow. Maybe watch the games a little bit more. Maybe yes, maybe no. How about you, Pete? Any chance you're going to play DFS tomorrow?
No, I'm probably not even going to watch the game.
Well, you watch now. You're a hockey guy, so am I. You're going to watch the NHL game.
I'm going to watch the skills competition. I'm probably not going to watch the game. If it's replayed and I got nothing else to do, I'll probably watch it. But I'm more into the skills.
I agree with you completely there. I mean, same thing here. What time is the skills tonight?
7 p.m. Eastern, and I believe NBCSN will be broadcasting that.
Yeah, I don't think I probably won't watch it live. I'll probably record it and watch it an hour later. This way, I should be
they
home.
Usually replay it as well, so you may not even have to. I think they play it right after, or maybe they'll have like an NHL live segment in between. But I do remember in years past they do replay it.
Well, the reason I'll record is I want to get rid of the commercials, the garbage that goes on in
true.
Between. That's why I'll
yeah.
record. I think I'm home tonight, I believe, depending on what the family wants to. It's a rough weekend for me, guys. All right? I mean, I'm a sports guy.
You got two all-star breaks in one right now.
Right. It's rough. I'm not an NBA guy. I don't watch NBA. So to have no games last night, tonight, tomorrow, no games Monday, it's different. No scores. No lineups to look at. No DFS to set. It's strange. You know, it's definitely a little strange for me. I will be doing some writing this weekend for Benny on the chat that we need to write. That's my big plan to do. That was tell you the state of my life, that a weekend I'm going to spend home writing. I probably shouldn't be all that happy about that. But hey, such is life. But I'm with you there, Pete. Probably not going to watch much of the All-Star games tomorrow, but I will watch the skills competition. And I see Mike is back with us. I thought maybe Cardano came to your house and got rid of you.
No. I survived the axe falling for yet another week. I fooled him again, George. So I'm back. You're talking about the All-Star games, it appears?
Yes. I figured pizza hockey games. So I wanted to see if he was going to watch the All-Star game of skills competition. And I guess, Pete, I would have had one more question for you, Pete.
Yeah.
Your favorite skill tonight?
Hardest shot.
Yeah, that's everybody's. It's easy.
I'm also a defenseman for my league that I play in, so usually they have mostly defensemen in the hardest shot. And I just like seeing how fast the puck can go.
I've talked to Pete about this before, George. You've played hockey for most of your life, correct?
Actually, no. I only started getting into it about 3 years ago. So I picked up a pair of skates. I believe I took my girlfriend skating one day. And I said, you know what? I'm actually kind of decent. Only been on the ice a couple times, so I bought myself a pair of skates. And I've been playing for the past 3 years. So, my dad's always asked me, and I always told him no for some reason when I was younger. So,
yes, I've played, and I still ref at least once a week.
Right. So George has played most of his life, and Pete, you just picked it up. A buddy of mine has done the same. He's in his 40s, but his sons play, so he's decided to pick it up. So it's interesting that you can pick up a sport like that later in life, but good you're having fun with it.
Yeah, it's really fun. The league I'm in actually has a beginner league for those who don't, you know, have any hockey experience at all, actually. So I've had guys on my team that have never skated before in their lives.
Are there contact rules?
We are a no-checking league, but it's still contact. Okay. You could play the body a little bit. Nothing too blatant that can get someone injured.
Almost all leagues are like that, Mike.
Yeah.
It's hockey.
Figured.
You're going to hit each other.
Yeah, I figured. But there's got to be some checking limitations unless the leagues are highly competitive.
You can't make it all that obvious. But when, you know, it balls the pucks in the corner, you're going to hit each other. You're going to be digging for the puck. Just can't be stupid about it. I think as a ref, same thing. Listen, we all got to go to work tomorrow. Only person getting paid out here is me.
Right. Fair point. So, all right, good stuff. So, thank you, Pete. So, George, we were talking about a variety of different topics, obviously, in the first hour. Cardano is out on the skills challenges as well. He doesn't even seem to be interested in watching the Pro Bowl. So, I'll get us an
update. Isn't that kind of sad, though? You know, you, me, Mike, I mean, tons of others. I think Scott and Jake were the same. No one's watching the game, or no one cares. Yeah, and maybe background fodder at best.
So the update on the poll, a little over an hour in, is will you watch the Pro Bowl? Yes, and I'm playing DFS. That's 11%. Yes, but no action on the game. That's 12%. And no chance I'm watching, 77%. So I think that lies with the majority of people. They're just not, they're done. They're not into it. They care less that it's even happening.
Should take my wife out tomorrow and use that as an excuse to get out.
Yeah, there you go. So, yeah, it's always a good. Hey, there's, you know what? You could prioritize it in that way. Honey, football is on, and I don't even care. I just want to spend some time with you. I don't even care about this game. And if they start pressing questions about what game it is, it's a really important All-Star game, and you know, you don't have to get into the details. So maybe I'll try that as well. But anyway, getting back to the real football at hand, it is, by the way, Tony Cincotta tweeted at us during the Gene Segura debate. So he's laughing about Cardano's fourth-round pick of Segura, and I think you appropriately tore it apart. So you have some, what should I say, support.
I think what bothered me more than anything about that is he was so worried about taking a shortstop, or he had to take the best shortstop available in round four. I don't understand that at all.
I mean, he seemed to want the stolen bases out of it. You appropriately kind of came back with, we don't know exactly what that's going to look like. Now that he's on a new team,
he's not Billy Hamilton. He's not
going
to be given the green light. I mean, with Cano, Cruz, and Seager hitting behind him, he's going to get the red light a lot because they're going to want to, you know, go for that two-run home run. So it's I think Segura. I like him as a player. I'm not taking him anywhere near round four, though. No, I mean maybe double that.
Yeah, he's 33 stolen bases last year, and as you said, he's going to be slotted into a lineup where they want to utilize his speed appropriately, extra base hits and whatnot.
Seattle finished 24th last year, 24th in the majors last year in stolen bases. They're not a running team. They're not just give green lights left and right and say, go ahead, do what you got to do. His percentage was okay. It was 76.7. Generally, it's considered in baseball, anything less than 80 is not good. I mean, that's close. It's not massively less, but that's what it's considered in baseball. If you're less than 80%, you're not a good base dealer. Then it's generally considered not to be worth the risk to let you go. Over 80%,
33
yes,
swipes caught 10 times.
10 times. So, not the greatest ratio on the planet.
Yeah. So, we'll see. We'll continue to bash that and other picks. I don't know. You know, to put a bow on that, I'll get back to football in a second. But to put a bow on that, were there any teams to you in this draft, since you've looked at it a bunch of times this week, that really jumped out as you sort of in line with your strategy, or are they really they availed themselves pretty well during this draft process?
I don't know if I'd I mean, I haven't looked at every team. I have it. So to give you a team that stood out, I could tell you, one of the questions I always like to ask people, and I'll ask you, Mike, if you had your choice, where would you like to draft? What number?
You know, I didn't used to say this in football drafts, and I think it applies now, though, is I've become more of a fan of drafting in the middle of the rounds. I don't want to wait all that long. I think the risk is too high with the guys up at the top of the draft that you feel like, oh, of course I want Mike Trout. Yeah, I want him too. But if Mike Trout goes down, I've blown a hole in my team, and I feel like I can mitigate that a little bit when I'm in the middle of the rounds.
That's what I would answer as well. I always want to draft in the middle for the same reason you just said. I just don't like to be on the wrong end of runs. This way, if I draft, I have the sixth or seventh pick, I never have to wait more than 12, 14 picks to go. I won't be on the wrong end of catcher runs or closer runs, whatever it might be. But where I was going with this, if you go by the numbers, and I haven't looked at it as far as last year's concerned, but before that, if you pick first overall, you have the high percentage of finishing first, second, third. It goes on and on. It's just funny how that works.
Interesting.
So, yeah, if you had the choice, you really should pick one, which brings me to the first team here. Hard not to like this team. Anthony Perry of Fantastics. Trout, obviously. Dozier. Syndergaard, that's your ace. Cargo, we talked about. I like that. Abreu, some upside there. Longoria had a great year last year. Strasburg, I think, is close to a steal in round seven. I understand he's got some issues, some injury issues, but really like him. Andrew Miller, interesting choice there in round eight. He will get some saves. I think it's still going to be Cody Allen being the main guy there. And so I really like that team. If you look at the first 10 picks there, and you, second team, Betts, Cano, Kluber. I mean, wow, that's a good team as well. Chris Davis, okay. David Dahl, Tanaka, who I think will have a better season. Kevin Gausman's a guy I really like. Was good for Baltimore last year, just didn't get the wins because they couldn't hit for him. So that's Glenn and Rick Wolf. That's a team I like as well.
Yeah, you know, one guy you mentioned as you're ripping through it, I struggle with him because he's a really good player, but I guess I was a little surprised in the home run spike last year out of Longoria. 36 bombs last year. Hits 273. It's basically right on his career average. So I'm curious if you think he maintains that to some level. He had 98 RBIs, which was, it's right up there near a career high for him. He had two, 3 years, which are a little better than that. But, right near triple-digit RBI. So are your thoughts at Longoria? He's now 30, going to be 31 years old. It's a 31-year-old season. Does he maintain this level of production, or do you feel like that was a spike and he's likely to regress back into the 21-22 home run seasons where he was previously?
Well, he's had three other seasons of 30-plus. All right, so this is not a complete aberration. Hit 33 and 09, 31 and 11, and 32 and 13. So you figure, the better question is, why all of a sudden, 2 years before that, did he only hit 22 and 21? What's going on there? Is he just, he doesn't run anymore, so I think that's part of it. He's bulked up a little bit. Maybe he's just become a better hitter now. Do I think he's going to hit 36? No. When I do a draft, Mike, generally I like to pencil in guys for what I think they're going to do. Because this way, this is a good strategy for your draft, by the way, if you're a newcomer to the league. You look at your past league. Generally, I'll go 3 years beforehand. And if it takes 270 home runs to win that category, well, then if I'm going to take Longoria, I haven't penciled in for 30 home runs this year. So now I can take off 30 home runs. Now I need 240 home runs from the rest of my team to win that category. And so on and so on and so on. That's a simplistic view of it, but that's something I'll do. Especially in leagues where I really would like to win. So that's one thing I'll do. So to answer your question, I don't have him in for 36. No, I think that's a high amount. But do I think he's going to plummet back to the low 20s? No, I have been. I'm going to cut the difference somewhere and give him 30. If I had to do a range, it'd be 28 to 32.
Got it. Okay. Yeah, I think that's fair to say. I just Longoria, I think, opened some eyes last year. George said he doesn't run anymore. He literally didn't run last year. He got caught stealing three times with nothing on the positive side of the ledger. So not really running at all these days. On base percentage, it's dependent on what categories you're in. My league that I've been in for a few years now, we have a ridiculous amount of categories. I don't like it that way, but it's the hand I've been dealt. We're counting triples. We're counting all kinds of different stuff. I think it's 8 hitting categories and 7 pitching categories, something like that. So I don't love it, but it is what it is. So I'm going to fine-tune my approach a little bit. Last year, team fell apart last year because of the pitching staff. Keuchel, Harvey, and others just didn't perform. Hitters were okay. The biggest mistake ever, George, happened in the preseason. I thought we had – I co-owned the team with somebody. He's a guy that kind of brought me into the league, and we protect 5 players. So the hitters I was trying to protect were Machado, Marte, and I can't remember. Maybe it was Nelson Cruz. But my guy checked off the wrong player. He checked off Lorenzo Cain instead of Starling Marte. So you can imagine the Grand Canyon-sized gap in the production that those two players had. And it was a bad start. And it just got worse from there. So didn't make the playoffs. Team fell apart. So we'll see. Try to right those wrongs this next year. And see what we can do. But we'll continue to talk about baseball strategies, this draft, other drafts, but we'll get back to the Super Bowl, talk a little bit more about that after the break. It's Mike and George until 10 o'clock on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Welcome back to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Coming up after this show, we have the Weekend Fantasy Update with Joe Galina, Frank Stample, and Mike Florio. So those guys will be taking you over the next few hours after that. Got some new shows coming up. I'll get back to you with those in a moment. But, again, Joe Galina, Mike Florio, and Frank Stanfill are going to be joining after this. They normally do the fantasy first look, but we're going to be doing a weekend fantasy update with those guys. So looking forward to that. I'll listen in. George, you know, one question I wanted to ask you. This is non-sports related.
How dare you?
You seem to be... You seem to be, yeah. God forbid we talk about the Pro Bowl for another segment. I think we've beaten that horse dead. So I know you're a big TV guy. Would you consider yourself to be a movie buff?
I do like movies. Movies nowadays I don't think are very good. You know, they're all it's either superhero movies or, you know, the X, whatever you call those guys, the you know, Captain America and all that, or remakes.
X-Men.
You know, yeah. Where they're just remaking everything. My wife and I did watch Magnificent Seven last night, which I thought was great. But once again,
I actually just watched it too.
Of a remake of a remake.
It's true, but I did watch it, and it was really entertaining. Actually,
it was.
That's not normally. That's not like action movies aren't my favorite genre, but this is westerns, and which I do kind of like. It's, you know, it's, I know it's sort of a little bit of an oxymoron to say that, or a contradiction rather to say that, but I kind of liked it. I thought Denzel was good and Chris Pratt was really good in it.
Yeah, I said, which one was Chris Patton?
Chris Pratt is the
was that Faraday?
Gosh, yes.
Oh, I was wondering who that was. Yeah, he was very. You're right. He was fantastic. He was probably my favorite guy in it.
Yes, he was. He was really good, and the evil.
Bogle.
What's the guy's name? Yeah, I can't remember the villain's name.
Oh, no, the villain's Bokeh or Boke or something like that.
Right. As Peter Sarsgaard played that, and then Denzel was the main hero, and Chris Pratt was like the supporting.
Vincent D'Onofrio was in it, Ethan Hawke.
He's a ridiculously good actor.
He is. He's crazy. Like, he can play parts.
He plays really weird parts. But anyway, the reason I'm saying all of this, so that's a good movie. I recommend that, even though it's, like you said, remade a couple of times over. The Oscar nominations came out, and I'm curious if you watched the Academy Awards.
No, I don't watch any award shows of any type.
I knew it. I could have picked that one from a mile away.
Oscars, Emmys. I don't watch the ESPYs either, by the way. Okay, I watch no reality shows whatsoever other than sports.
Yeah, I don't watch reality shows either, although my wife is kind of a fan of Antique Roadshow. I don't know if that even counts.
My wife will watch. My wife will probably watch the Oscars. She likes those kind of things. The Emmy she'll watch. Yeah, and she'll watch, what was that stupid, American Idol she'll do.
Yeah, I mean, I do watch the Academy Awards some. The irony is that I don't really get a chance to see many movies anymore. I saw Magnificent Seven on the plane on the way home from Dallas. But I'm curious. The reason I brought it up, I'm curious if you've seen any of these nominated movies. Arrival, Fences, Hacksaw Ridge, Hell or High Water, I've heard really good things about. Hidden Figures, La La Land, which broke the all-time record with 14 nominations. Lion, Manchester by the Sea, Moonlight. Those are all the movies that are up for nomination. I haven't seen any of them.
Survey says... No, haven't seen any either.
I want to try to get Hell or High Water in at least before the awards happen.
My wife and I have two movies in the queue that we want to see. And I think one is The Accountant with Affleck. And the other one is Suicide Squad with Will Smith.
I heard not so great things about that. You said you didn't love the comic book.
Suicide's been 50-50. Every good and bad. I actually tried to go see it in the theater, but I just couldn't make it. I think my niece wasn't working that day, so I didn't know if I could get it for free.
Oh, she you get the hookup?
Yeah, a good friend of mine owns a theater, but he doesn't work. He's not working nights, so I knew he wouldn't be there. And since I don't go enough, the employees don't know me. I did get my niece a job there, but she had to be off that night too.
All right. Well, now I know who to go to when I want to go see a free movie. Let's get the connection to the connection to the connection. Do I have to watch the movie with you if I want to get in for free?
No. Who the hell wants to watch it with you?
Exactly. That's my point. I don't think we want to watch it with each other. I want to be
Are you one of those?
I was always a solo movie
guy, by the way.
No. That's totally fine. I can do that.
I had a friend who wouldn't do it.
He's just paranoid. He's like infringing upon
it made him uncomfortable.
Masculinity or sexuality.
Right. It made him uncomfortable to watch a movie with another guy. I'm like, are you kidding me?
No. Yeah.
It's very strange. Oh, God.
It's very strange. So I would say that in general, though, I do like going to the movies solo.
I don't. It's rare. In my whole life, maybe I've seen one movie by myself.
I embraced it years ago when I lived in Manhattan, which I did for 8 years. I was surrounded by movie theaters in my neighborhood in the Upper East Side, and I never used to do it, and then I just kind of did it one day. I was like, this is liberating. I don't need to wait on anybody else, because, you know, you're always, like, in Manhattan especially, movies are really well attended, so you're always, like, angling for a seat, or you got to get there early, whatever it might be. And I realized that if I went by myself, I never had to wait anybody. I'd never be late. I would just get there when I got there. I'd get my seat. I'd have my snacks beforehand, and I was good to go. So,
do you need to see the previews?
I love seeing the previews.
My brother got mad at me last week because, listen, I don't care about the previews, okay? And nowadays,
I love
the previews
trailers.
Are so low.
I'll watch trailers all day long, even on YouTube. I'll sit at home. There's a show on Axis TV called Nothing But Trailers, and they have, like, one-hour shows. They have three-hour shows. I'll watch them for hours. I'll watch trailers.
No.
Is that weird?
I don't know. Listen, we all have stuff we watch that people might consider weird. I don't think it's weird. I
get really
excited
to see the movies, and now I can't see them anymore because I got too much going on.
Yeah, movies are so bad nowadays
front.
Anyway. Plus, they come out on video a month later, so it's not going to have any problem seeing them. I think my biggest problem is I forget the movies I want to see.
But if we just pick the best pictures, I bet you there's a few that are good in there. I agree. On a whole, there's a lot of crap being filtered through there, and I don't do the comic book movies or the superhero movies. I'm totally burnt out on it. I never was into it, but now I'm really burnt out on it. I don't care about Batman vs. Superman or X-Men or
whomever. Batman vs. Superman, couldn't Superman kill Batman about 11,000 ways to Sunday before Batman even gets anywhere near close to him?
You would think.
I mean, come on.
Like, if you're just sitting here logically thinking of it, yeah, he has superhuman strength created by
the Earth's sun. He has the laser eyes in the first place, the cold breath. It'd be over.
You would think. You would think. It's not a fair fight.
No.
Batman's technically, some people would say Batman's not a superhero.
Well, he's not. He has no superpowers.
A rich guy with a lot of toys. Yeah, right. He doesn't have superpowers.
And I love Batman. Love Batman. But he doesn't have any superpowers. Superman would eat him for breakfast.
Yeah, that's sort of how I look at it. Anyway, so you've seen none of those movies. I haven't either. This is a terrible segment. I'm going to have to go to Pete to see. Pete, have you seen any of these movies? I know what the answer is. Have you seen any of the movies that I mentioned?
No.
Oh, Jesus.
That's all for about 15.
I haven't been to the movies in a while.
There's nine movies nominated. It's three people. We effectively had 27 chances here to pull one movie off, and we're 0-for. It's like the old Mets pitcher Anthony Young, where didn't he lose his first 27 starts of his career? George, remember that guy?
Yes, I do. Yes.
So
I will
right,
be.
Pete, thanks.
I will be seeing a John Wick double feature, though.
How about? So you haven't seen either one?
I saw the first one. The second one's coming out in February.
How was the first one?
First one's fantastic.
Pete, I'm going to put this on my list, and if it's bad, you're going to hear about it.
No, I thought it was great. I never read the novel or the graphic novel to it, but apparently it's spot on. Same thing for the second one, so I'm actually very excited for the second one.
All right.
I've heard unsolicited. People have told me how good that movie is, so I can't back him up because I haven't seen it, but I have heard from other people that John Wick is a lot of fun. So I'm trying to think other movies. I saw War Dogs on a Plane recently. I know that one is like probably a year and a half old, but that was kind of entertaining. Have you seen that one, George?
No, but it made me think of Reservoir Dogs, which is one of my favorite movies.
No, it's with Jonah Hill and Miles Teller, I think, are the main characters. Anyway, we should probably talk about movies that we've seen and or happened this year. But anyway, some interesting storylines of the movies that were nominated. I want to go see Hell or High Water. My wife saw La La Land. She didn't give it a ringing endorsement, but she also she needs things nice and light and happy and rom-com.
My wife is sort of like that,
no,
too.
Like, no bumps in the road. She doesn't want to get emotional in any kind of serious way, and I think La La Land has that towards the end of it. We'll see. Maybe it's a brilliant production. Maybe I'll go see it. I'm guessing that's not on your radar, George, but I might give that a shot. I would say in a previous life, I was a movie snob. big time. Like, I'd big league you with the art films and all that kind of stuff. And I just don't have time anymore. So it's not a part of my life. I got to watch a lot of Paw Patrol and Blazing the Monster Machines. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, you're better off for it, because they are kids' cartoons and they'll make you want to bash your head against the wall.
My kids right now are big into Minecraft. We got them the Wii. My God, they love Minecraft.
My nephew is about the same age as your kids. He's in that range, and he plays it obsessively.
Right.
So.
It's like, wow.
Yeah, I don't get it. He tried to teach it to me. I was like, you know what? I'm done. After about 5 minutes, I was like, I'm good to go. I'm not going to do it.
I just sit there and fall asleep.
The O.J. Made in America documentary, though, was nominated for Best Documentary. So I would ask you, it's one of five nominated. So did you see the O.J. Made in America series at all? It was, you know, 7.5 hours long, so it was in five installments.
No, I lived it. I mean, I'm old enough to remember what had happened. You know, I was...
me too.
So I had I mean, I followed the trial when it was going on. You know, in the that chase with the Bronco. I had just come back from a hockey game. I think it was on during an NBA playoff game, too, if I remember correctly. That got preempted because of it. So, no, I lived it once. I wasn't living it again.
So what I think is impressive about it is that as somebody like you and I that did, you know, I was fresh out of college when the trial was, well, I was in college when it all went down, obviously, with from the L.A. riots to the O.J. situation. That all happened while I was in college. The Bronco chase happened the night of the Knicks playoff game, and I was in Boston summer in between years between college. So in any event, I would say that what's impressive about it is that talk about a topic that was covered ad nauseum for years and everybody's taken their own different angle. This involved 70 different people that were interviewed and key players that you probably hadn't heard from before, Gil Garcetti and Marcia Clark, and other attorneys that were involved, as well as friends of OJ's and friends of Nicole's and Ron Goldman and family members. And I found that some of the information is new, frankly. You hadn't heard all of it, and extremely compelling. It's emotional. It is frustrating. It is eye-opening, shocking, all of the above. Some of the major points of the story, yes, aren't going to be revelatory, but they were, I thought it was an incredibly well-done documentary. Pete, did you have a chance to watch that at all?
No.
I would recommend it to somebody like you who's much younger. This is unbelievable. We don't watch anything except sports. I guess that's why you folks are listening, but that's where we're at. I mean, we need to be able to branch out a little bit.
I watch 24.
I would recommend it to I would recommend it. Great. Perfect. I'll be asleep after the Super Bowl, guaranteed. I'll have a couple of beers, a couple of wings, and I'll be passing out in the fourth quarter of what will hopefully be a Falcons blowout, but I guarantee it won't be. So, Pete, I would recommend it highly to somebody like you that's a lot younger. What year were you born?
92.
92.
Okay. So you're a baby, literally, this all was going down. Yeah, you could learn a lot about it by watching this documentary. It's 7.5 hours long, but you can watch it on demand on ESPN, and I would highly recommend it. So that's it. That's enough about the Academy Awards. We literally haven't seen any of the movies. I will recommend none of it because I haven't seen any of it, but I've heard good things. And I will absolutely recommend O.J. I will recommend O.J. Made in America documentary by Ezra Edelman. It's one of the best documentaries I've ever seen. I would say, George, I mentioned just before that I was a movie snob. The thing I'm pretty snobby about is I love documentaries. Love, love, love them. If you can combine sports into it, it's a home run. But I love them. I like them, frankly. I think I more consistently like documentaries than I do like movies. Does that make sense?
Sure, I get it.
Because you were saying, like, there's a lot of crap movies being put out there.
I just don't think they have any original idea. It's rare to get an original idea that's good. You know, the movies nowadays are just all... I mean, how many more Mission Impossibles can Tom Cruise make? That sort of thing.
Yeah,
I like them, but come on.
Hollywood's just... listen, I'm not going to sit here and opine because I'm not in that industry, but from afar, Hollywood is really focused on trying to turn out profitable movies. That's what they're in the business of doing. So when they can do a remake that they know they can deliver, or they can bring Tom Cruise and sell it internationally, that's where they make their money, and that's why they're going to do it. It's surprising in some ways to see a movie like Magnificent Seven be remade, because Westerns don't get a lot of green lights these days. They don't sell well internationally, but when Denzel and Chris Pratt are in it, I think that helps quite a bit. So anyway, that's my only recommendation, to watch O.J. Made in America if you haven't seen it. Many of you have, but if you haven't seen it, I highly recommend it. So we'll be back in a couple of minutes. We'll head to the last half an hour of the show. Talk some football. We'll wrap up with a couple other things. Mike and George back after this. Welcome back to the Fantasy Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. George, you guys are in this league, this draft here. How many rounds is this thing going? Did you just make a pick now on this Roto Experts, like home league, whatever you want to call it, staff league? Here, in the 19th round, you drafted...
That sounds about right.
You drafted Iwakuma from Seattle.
Oh, so, I drafted him yesterday. So no one's made a pick since. Let's know how bad this draft is going.
Awesome. Frank Stanfill, who's going to be on at 10 o'clock, he drafted Keon Broxton.
Oh, Scott. Scott goes. Yeah, so, Scott. Yeah, it's only been about 12 hours. Scott might want to make a pick there.
So there we go. That draft continues. God, you guys have barely made any progress. I feel like you had 14 rounds or so done last week.
Yeah, there's a couple of guys who just take forever to pick here. It's technically a slow draft, but I think Mike Waterloo, who's I guess doing the write up for Roto Experts after the draft, wanted to get this over with in about a week to 10 days. It's been over 2 weeks now, and it'll take probably 3 weeks to finish.
So I'm looking at your roster right now here. You got Russell Martin at catcher, Adrian Gonzalez at first, DJ LeMahieu, Josh Donaldson, Addison Russell, Nelson Cruz, Cargo, Nomar Mazara, Brian Buxton. Napoli is your corner infielder, and in utility, Jose Reyes. Your staff right now, Noah Syndergaard, Garrett Cole, Michael Fulmer, Cody Allen, David Robertson, Joe Ross, Taiwan Walker, and Hisashi.
It's a 15-team league, by the way. People should know that.
Yeah, so pretty deep, getting deep down there. But you did address relief pitching, which was something that we talked about earlier. Talking about the other draft wasn't addressed by Mike Cardano. So you went here with Cody Allen and David Robertson. So you mentioned something earlier about, I'm totally blanking on the name, Andrew Miller. You mentioned something earlier about Andrew Miller. So how do you expect this to play out with Miller and Allen? Do the roles stay the same? How does Miller really help people? Do you think it's the type of guy, because closers come in and out so much, we know the volatility of that position, is Miller like a get drafted a little bit higher than somebody in his role normally would because of the possibility for him to close at some point?
Well, I think it's pretty similar to what they did last year. Not during the playoffs last year, what they did when Miller was acquired, because Miller can go more than one inning. So right now he's their only lefty, or their only really good lefty. So I don't think he's going to be closing all that much. There will be times he will, you know, for whatever reason. And if I had to guess about it right now, if they're going to get 50 saves of a team, I think it would be 35-15, assuming they both stay healthy. That wouldn't shock me at all. They're going to win a lot of games. All right, Cleveland's a good team. I expect them to win that division again. Starting rotations, back and being healthy. So I, in a perfect world, I would have liked to have gotten Miller, too, on this team. You know, if I'm drafting Allen, I want Miller. But I think Miller went either a round or two right after him, and I wasn't willing to take him that early.
Yeah, I mean, some people think the Indians can run away and hide in that division. So to your point, there was a lot of discussion during the World Series and during the playoffs last year about how is the way that these guys are managing relievers going to change the way baseball is managed moving forward. There was like that was like the hot take.
You can't do that
last October.
Season.
Of course not. You can't. There's no way. You would murder your pitching staff by Memorial Day. So there's no way you can manage like that. It's just trying to get the last few gasps out of these guys. And ironically, it all fell apart in Game 7 for both teams. So No, you can't manage like that because you would need a reliable pitching staff of about 25 to 30 pitchers in order to pull that off, right?
Yeah, I mean, the way the roster is set up, you can't do it. You need a 30-man roster to really be able to pull that off. Or, you know, doing like football where you can have 30 guys called up, but you have to have five inactive. So you can, you know, the four starting pitchers you can inactive each day and have four different relievers. Then it could work. But they're not going to do that anytime soon, maybe not ever. So, you're just not going to see it. There's not enough off days to have to work it that way.
Major League Baseball Players Association would love that. So more jobs and more guaranteed salaries. But one guy on your team, and I'll admit I don't know as much about him, so I'd like you to talk about him quickly, is Nomar Mazara. So comes up last year, 20 bombs and hits .266, but you know he's going to be 22 years old. So thoughts about him in this lineup, and obviously he was an everyday player last year. So what are your thoughts about him going into year two of his career?
Legitimate hitter, should only get better, plays in a bandbox of a ballpark. The ballpark's not small, but the ball flies out of there. So I expect all those numbers to get better across the board. Not massively. I'm not looking at 40 home runs or anything like that. You said he had 20 last year. I think he'd get a 25. You know, I think the average could come up slightly, but the average really probably doesn't matter too much. It's not going to hurt me. It's not going to help me as far as fantasy is concerned. You know, so I think he's my outfielder three. I'm comfortable with it. There is some upside there. I like him. I mean, Texas is almost like Coors Field of the American League. The ball just flies out of there. You want some Texas players, if at all possible.
Yeah, I mean, he's 6'4", 215, so the guy's a beast, you know, and again, only 21 years old. He'll be 22, probably like right at the beginning of the season. So, yeah, interesting player to me. Not a guy that I was on my radar much last year, but something that, you know, we're looking at some guys that, you know, the interesting thing about baseball in general, George, and I'm sure you've talked about this, but we've never talked about it on the show, is that historically, it was considered that players were getting into their prime in the, 27 or 28 to 32-year-old range or so. That has shifted in many ways, in that we're seeing players that are dominating the league at very young ages, whether it's Mike Trout or Bryce Harper, but there's a litany of players that we can talk about that have had a really big impact. And if you look at the Cubs last year, that was a very young team. In fact, I think by some measures they were the youngest team in the majors, and they won with a lot of young stars. So you were seeing a trend towards younger players being more successful. You can talk about it in relation to the PED era if you want, but the reality is younger players are having a huge impact and are producing big, and Nomar Mazara can be just a reflection of that. Even if he's not a superstar, he's a 21-year-old player that hit 20 homers and could be a 22-year-old player that has a huge impact offensively.
Yeah, and I think that's part of the reason there. I like young players, you have to be careful. Some figure it out right away, some don't. And I mentioned earlier about Trey Turner, why I won't take him is because he could have an adjustment period there. The same thing could be true for Mazara. The difference is I got Mazara, you know, much later in the draft, where if he does take him a month or two, I'll still be okay. Trey Turner, you're taking as a top 20 player overall, difference in value there. So that's my issue as far as that's concerned. But there's always concern with young players. You know, they don't have that proven track record. Maybe he just had a good couple of months. Now, you don't know. You have to trust what you see. Trust all the, you know, whoever you like to read that knows these kids, that have watched them, about what kind of prospect they're going to become, that sort of thing.
Yeah, and to those, we've talked about Trey Turner a couple of times, just give everybody a sense of what we're looking at here. He was number one. He was the number 13 pick in the draft just 3 years ago, 2.5 years ago, basically, by the Padres. And last year, in 73 games, he hit .342. Drove in 40 runs with 13 homers, so massive production in that short period of time. He missed out on the Rookie of the Year award in just 73 games. Corey Seager took down that award, obviously, with a monster season, 26 homers and hitting .308. But he's on people's radar, and you see him climbing up into the draft, especially any kind of keeper league drafts where he's thrown back into the mix in some capacity this year, then he'll be right off the board early. He's a guy you're going to want to look at long term. But I think I'm with you, George. I don't know that I want to marry myself to that risk.
Yeah, like I said, it comes down to what your philosophy is. If you want to take some chances, you go for it. If you take the best player overall, like I said, I love Trey Turner. I just don't like where he's going. You know, if you give me to me as top 20, top 22, 24 player, no issues there. Top 12? I mean, I could come up with 12 players I want over him, and it's not even that close to me. Guys who have proven track records, guys who are going to – I know what they're going to do. I'm not quite positive with Turner. You know, I want to see him do it again. Do it again. I'll feel much better about you next year.
Right. Just one other player on your team. We talked about Michael Fulmer last week. How about Byron Buxton? I know he was a player that – you know, people kind of jumped on at one point last year, but I remember in a league that I'm in, I think a lot of the guys in the league that I'm in, a lot of the guys are from Minnesota. So while he wasn't really on a lot of people's radar, maybe going into last year in shallower leagues, in that league that I'm in, people were right on Buxton early. He was overdrafted because there's a bunch of Twins fans in there. So, Byron Buxton, you have him as your outfielder two, I suppose, with Cargo being the one.
No, he's at my outfielder four.
Oh, four. Okay, I'm sorry. So, I got that mixed up. So, give me some thoughts on Buxton here.
Yeah, I think I took him at player 195, so barely in my top 200. Stolen bases. Yeah, you know, that's where I was going with them there. I need some guys with speed there. I have a couple of guys, but not anything major. I'm hoping to get 20 to 30 steals here. That maybe what we saw at the end of last season, he's finally starting to put it together. Maybe. So that's really what I'm going for there. I know for a while there, he was a top five prospect overall in baseball. I don't know if I see that. You know, I don't see him becoming the next Trey Turner or someone like that. I don't have him ranked that high. Obviously, neither does anybody else. He lasted the 195 overall. That's pretty much telling you where he is. So there is some upside, which is nice. But I didn't draft him for upside, Mike. Draft him for stolen bases.
Yeah, I mean, he's 22. This is 23-year-old season in 92 games last year. He struck out 118 times at .225, but he had the 10 steals and 10 homers. So a little pop, a little bit of speed there. That's the combo you're looking for. So interesting player to watch. So George and I will be back after this for our final segment before we hand it over to the guys for the weekend fantasy update, Joe Galina, Frank Stanfill, and Michael Florio. So we'll be back in a couple of minutes on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Welcome back. Mike and George here for the next 10 minutes or so. Georgia Pro Bowl, the AFC, I spoke ill of the AFC earlier. They are actually favored. They're a 4-point favorite over the NFC. The total on that is 82.5. Certainly the largest I've ever seen in a football game. Definitely a professional football game. I think there was an 80 over-under earlier this year in bowl season, and they hit the over. So 82.5. You like the chances to go over on that?
Oh, sure. Why not?
Yeah, like a 44-40 kind of game. That should be fun to watch. So the AFC Pro Bowl roster, Alex Smith is starting. That's a good time.
Enough said.
Andy Dalton and Ben Roethlisberger backing him up. So what was Phil Rivers doing there? I'm looking at the finalized rosters, which just came out like yesterday. So I don't know. Maybe Roethlisberger didn't want to do the challenge. I don't know how all of this stuff works. But
well, I think Rivers took over for Brady because Brady obviously can't go because the stupid thing where that's another the reason I hate it because now
I think it's better now.
No,
I think it makes more sense.
Brady can't go. Matt Ryan can't go. I don't get to see. Oh, forget it. I don't care.
Those guys always say no anyway. Brady said no forever, even after they
still should have the option. They say no, that's fine. But now you're taking out. The plays you really want to see. I hate it. Hate it.
Listen, there's a lot of things that have been marginalized about the Pro Bowl. I do think that they made a smart decision to put it in between these 2 weeks as opposed to after because people really don't care when it's after the season. So, anyway, Alex Smith, Andy Dalton, and Ben Roethlisberger on the quarterback side. Where was I going here? Okay. On the NFC side, the quarterbacks are Drew Brees, Kirk Cousins, and Dak Prescott. It looks like Dak Prescott is starting. So Dak Prescott versus Alex Smith. I don't know. I'm thinking. I mean, this Yeah, starters have the asterisk next to them, so I'm right. So Dak Prescott. Well, Dak Prescott, who had a better year, Dak Prescott or Drew Brees?
Didn't Brees?
I don't know. I guess we could debate that all you want. Drew Brees certainly had a great season. He threw for 5,100
yards. It doesn't matter. Once again,
who
cares? They're all going to play, and 1,000 points are going to be scored. But I probably would have started Drew. I think Drew just on when you're a veteran, whatever, he had a good enough year where the veteranship should have got him the start. How about that?
Yeah. Both Broncos receivers are going to be there, along with Jarvis Landry and T.Y. Hilton getting the start. Running back Melvin Gordon, DeMarco Murray, who is starting, and Jay Ajayi. So, obviously, some fantasy superstars in that mix right there. And on the NFC side, Zeke Elliott starting for the NFC. Jordan Howard and Devonta Freeman backing him up. But I don't know who the
Not Freeman.
I don't know who the fill-in is there for Devonta Freeman. You would think that the NFL, when they publish their final Pro Bowl rosters and put it online, would make that adjustment. But in any event, Dez Bryant, along with Odell Beckham, Mike Evans, and Larry Fitzgerald, will get the start on from wide receivers, Greg Olsen, Jimmy Graham. And on the AFC side, we saw Travis Kelce and Delanie Walker. Travis Kelce, you know, I saw him on some show last week.
It was a hold. Get over it.
Yeah. Yeah, he was still freaking out. He's like, yeah, I'll take the fine, whatever. He's wearing this green suit, which is a really three-piece green suit. Which
he was
a topic all of its own.
NFL
Countdown. He was on Countdown.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, like non-apologetic about bashing the ref. He's like, I'll just take the fine. Like, why don't you just back off the statement? You're going to get fined anyway. Why don't you just back off the statement and, like, realize that either A, it was a hold, or B, that the guy's not out to get the Chiefs.
Listen, it was a
That's
hold.
Not the goal.
He had his arm around his neck. All right, it was a hold.
Yeah.
I'm not a Steeler fan. I could have cared less about the call. But actually, I preferred they wouldn't have called. We could have gone to overtime. Could have been more entertained. But it was a hold. You had his arm around his neck. You took him down. I don't know what you're looking at here. It wasn't like this was a borderline hold to me. This looked like a pretty easy call.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad the Steelers won that game. But
really, are you?
I am, but considering the aftermath, it wasn't all that fun to watch them get scorched by New England.
This is why I told you. What did I tell you when Dallas lost?
At least want them to lose to.
When Dallas lost, it was I'd much rather get blown out. Because when you get blown out, you lost. Who cares? Nothing to replay here. You lost. The other team was better. Dallas loses by 3 points. I get to replay that loss for a week. But every little thing that could have gone wrong, that could have changed that game. I lose by, when Dallas losing 21-3 at the half or just before half, hey, I'd already moved on. Lost, got our butt kicked. Then they came back, like, and I got to relive the nightmare all over again. I'd much rather get my butt kicked.
I get it. The one thing I would say, though, is that unfortunately, I wasn't chewing my fingernails, obviously, in the second half of that game. It was long over. I was annoyed into halftime because it was 17-9, and I thought they could have at least had it 17-14. They should have had at least 17-14 or even 17 or even tied up, but didn't matter. They got dominated in the second half. But what I would say is that it's bad enough that they lose to the Patriots and that the Patriots have had their number. But I went to school up there. I know a million Pats fans, and they are none too shy about telling me what's up about it via text, via Facebook, whatever. I just didn't want to have to deal with it. I hate the Ravens as a rivalry situation, but I know like three Ravens fans. It's much worse losing to the Pats. When the Yankees lose to the Red Sox, it's the same similar situation. I just don't even want to face them in the playoffs due to the possible aftermath of what can happen. So that's the deal. If you're betting on the Pro Bowl, I think there's some hotlines for you out there. I'm not aware of them. And I think the 82.5, just saying, I'd take the over on that one. And AFC versus NFC.
For talking purposes.
Just for entertainment purposes. And if you're betting the line, I think you're nuts. George, I was going to spend some time today, but I'm glad I waited because we had the lovely Mike Cardano on. To talk with us for a half an hour about his experiences in Nashville, which, frankly, appeared to be quite boring. I'm glad that we won, and I'm glad he was there to represent us, but he can't find a crowd in Nashville, so we're going to help him out next time he goes out on the town. But what I was going to spend some time on, we'll just do it tomorrow, is prop bets. I literally have practically a phone book worth of prop bets here that we can go through, and we'll have some fun with it. We'll pick out the top three and see where we're at with that.
Oh, I can't wait. It should be a fantastic. Maybe we can have Mike Cardano back on for that, too.
You're going to love it. I know you're going to. I'm going to make you love it. It's going to be fantastic how much you're going to get interested in the prop bets. Doesn't matter if you're a gambler. By the way, we are in the clubhouse. 77% of the people saying there's no chance they're watching the Pro Bowl. 11% going to play a little DFS. So that's the 11% that will probably take my advice on the over with the game tomorrow. So thank you, George. Good to spend another 3 hours with you. We're back here tomorrow for another 3 hours. You excited?
Oh, I can't wait. 7 a.m., wake up at 5. It's going to be a great day.
It's going to be a great day. We're going to both be in studio tomorrow. Rockin' Riley's in the shadow of Madison Square Garden on 35th in Midtown Manhattan. We'll be there with Pete. Pete, thank you for your efforts today. We're going to be talking about the Super Bowl a little bit more in depth. Maybe we'll talk some NBA. We'll definitely talk about prop bets. I think we'll have some fun with that. You folks can call in and give us some of your own prop bets. So it's Mike and George out for today. You got the weekend fantasy update next with Frank and Mike Florio and Joe Galena. So Fantasy Basketball Weekly will be coming up later today. Mike and George, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Have a good day, everybody.